Welcome back to The Wise Man's Page, the podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Wise Man's Fear page by page. This is page 96. "You're a long way past Squirrel in the Thatch," I said, quietly after she'd struck a few notes. She shrugged my compliment away, not meeting my eye. "I don't have much to do but practice," she said, "and Callum says I have a bit of a knack." "How long have you been at it?" I asked. 3 span. She looked thoughtful, then nodded. "A little less than 3 span. "Mother of God," I said, shaking my head. "Don't ever tell anyone how quickly you've picked it up. Other musicians will hate you for it." "My fingers aren't used to it yet," she said, looking down at them. "I can't practice nearly as long as I like." I reached out and took hold of one of her hands, turning it palm up so I could see her fingertips. There were fading blisters there. I looked up and realized how close she was standing. Her hand was cool in mine. She stared at me with huge dark eyes, one eyebrow slightly raised. Not arc, or playful even. Just gently curious. My stomach felt suddenly strange and weak. "I've what?" she asked. I realized I had no idea what I had been about to say. I thought of saying, "I have no idea what I was going to say." Then I realized that would be a stupid thing to say. So I didn't say anything. Denna looked down and took hold of my hand, turning it over. "Your hands are soft," she said, then touched my fingertips lightly. "I thought the calluses would be rough, but they're not. They're smooth." Once her eyes were fixed on mine, I regained a small piece of my wits. "It just takes time," I said. Denna looked up and gave a shy smile. My mind went blank as fresh paper. After a moment, Denna let go of my hand and moved past me to the center of the room. "Would you care for something to drink?" she asked as she settled gracefully into a chair. "That would be very kind of you," I said, purely on reflex. I realized my hand was still hanging stupidly in midair, and I let it fall to my side. She gestured to a nearby chair and I sat. "Watch this." She picked up a small silver bell from a nearby table and rang it softly. Then she held up one hand with all 5 fingers extended. She folded in her thumb, then her index finger, counting downwards. Before she folded her smallest finger, there came a knock on the door. "Come in," Denna called, and the well-dressed porter opened the door. And ended the page!
I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
There's a lot on this page. This is a doozy of a page for us close readers. The first thing... Sure, go ahead, Jordana. No, you said.
Okay, well, mine's close to the top of the page, which is why I feel like I should mention it. And that is the the exclamation he uses is "Mother of God." Now, the reason we use that in this world is because of Mary, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But there is no character like that.
Are you sure?
Yes, there is.
There is?
Yeah.
Remember the story that Trappist tells?
Oh, about, yeah.
There is about a mother Menda? Of God.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. Lost
totally thought of everything.
God. Drat, I thought I had something there, but nope.
Now, it is possible that that story is an apocryphal one in the literal sense of the word, in that it's a religious story that's not part of the official canon.
Where could because, still be made up of an apocryphal story, though?
Yes, yes. So I'm just like, it's been argued that Trappist might be an apostate teaching an alternate version of the Telu faith. Mm-hmm. But there is a character in that story who is the mother of the god figure.
Although Cloth's use of this as an idiom would suggest that that is the canonical version.
True. That is true. So I want to also talk about something at the top of the page, and that is the fact that Denna says, "Kellen says I have a bit of a knack." We haven't talked about knacks in a long time, but you may recall that they're one of the first bits of magic that we learn about in this whole series.
It's unclear whether she means knack, the magical knack, or knack, the regular knack.
I don't think she knows about knacks in the way that Ben taught them, but I think that we as readers need to perk up every time the word knack shows up. Because also, if Denna has only been practicing for 3 span, that's about a month, she's picked it up to a point where she can impress Quoth. I think she actually does have a magical knack for music or for performance or something like that. We haven't encountered somebody with a knack except for Quoth, as far as we know, since the beginning of the book. So it would make sense, since there's a lot of setup done on the nature of knacks early on, that they come into play as a major plot point. And this is suggesting that Denna has one.
I have precisely the opposite read. I feel like knacks are a thing that he like thought were going to be important and then forgot about. And that's why we haven't heard of them since the very beginning of the first book. Much in the same way that there is a suggestion at the beginning. Well, no, that's not the same. Anyway, I think it's something Roth has totally forgot about. I think knack just means like she has a gift for it. But I do agree with you, Nick, that I think that this is setting up a direct parallel between Denna and Quoth in that they are both prodigies, that musical prodigies to be specific, that Denna can pick up this complicated instrument in like around a month to the point that she can impress Quoth speaks to the fact that she is like preternaturally gifted.
Right. So it's not clear if she has a Yilish knot in her hair right now. The knot, or her hair is mentioned on the previous page, is falling in her face, so it probably doesn't. However, when she does use the knots on him later on in this book, the same kind of thing happens where he loses his train of thought and whatever he was about to say just completely leaves his mind. Ooh. So it's possible that there's knots in her hair now and she just isn't, it's not on the page, but also she hasn't asked about, like later on is, actually I'm going to walk this back because it's later on that we explicitly hear her like braiding and unbraiding her hair and that's when the knots come into play. So
yeah, I think he's just tongue-tied in front of the girl that he really likes.
I think that's likely. Another thing I observe on this page is when he's inspecting her hands, he sees that there are fading blisters on the tips of her fingers. With me so far?
Yes.
Okay.
You're not going to say this means nothing, Jeremy, because I'm going somewhere with this.
I mean, it just means that she's been practicing hard enough to get blistered, which happens to you when you practice an instrument with strings.
No, they don't fade. They get stronger and stronger. I think that she tried to learn the lute. Because a lute or a guitar, that type of thing, an instrument with a neck, will cause you to gain blisters because you have to press on the strings. But a harp, now I'm not a harpist, I don't know if this is true, but I think it's a bit less stress on your fingers because you just have to pluck them. So I think that this means Denna tried with the lute and couldn't hack it and then switched to the harp.
That is a real reach.
I would have thought the same thing until I saw this page. The fact that the fingertips, the blisters are fading, speaks volumes to me. And that's also why she wants to look at his hands, because his hands are smooth. He doesn't have the blisters.
Yeah, because they faded. So,
but he still plays.
Yeah, because his hands got used to having blisters on them, so he doesn't.
It's because he has magic powers. He's got magic music powers.
No. Wait, you get a blister and then it fades. And then eventually you stop getting blisters there because your skin, you know.
You have calluses. Have you ever met you touch the fingertips of a lifelong guitarist? They have deep, deep calluses.
But the callus is just a faded blister.
Yeah, and that's what Quoth has. It's so faded that
it's smooth. And that's what Denna is having.
No, they're faded because they're going away. She plays the harp now.
They're going away because she's getting calluses there.
She tried to learn the lute.
She did not.
You're so lucky we're social distancing right now, because I would I would Homer Bart choke you if we were in the same room. You're angling for a strangling right now.
I lean more towards Jeremy's argument in this case. I'm willing to keep my mind open for that as a possibility, but for me, there's not enough evidence here.
All right, whatever. Like I've said before, I'm dying for the Ender's Shadow version of this series where we follow Denna.
Yeah, I was thinking that earlier, that would be a really rewarding read.
Yes, I agree.
I wonder if at the very least part of Doors of Stone might sort of give us Denna's perspective. Like, what if she shows up in nowhere and she's like, hold on, Quoth is not telling you everything. I'm going to fill in some blanks here.
Oh, man. What if Quoth dies before we can finish the story and we have to have Denna finish it? That would be a twist.
We're really taking the crane to crackpot town today.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is too weird. It's not going to happen like that.
There's so much to cover in Doors of Stone or whatever book 3 ends up being called that I would be surprised if we retread old ground, but I would welcome it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is there more to say on the page? Because we have a long letter that is going to cause some discussion, I think. So,
all right. I'm willing to move on to a letter.
Let's do it.
This is a letter from our good friend Incognito, who writes on the Plumbob. Beloved trio, first I have to say I'm completely delighted to have y'all in my daily life again. Welcome back. Page 66, today, which is undoubtedly a while in the past for you guys, the discussion was the beginning of the Plum Bob incident. This is my favorite passage of both books, culminating in a few pages with the words that break me every reread. I'm never going to see her again. Yeek, even writing the words makes me choke up a little. So, I just thought I'd mention the interesting information you get on this page from the Nick Padell narration. In the audiobook, the girl Amelia, Quoth talks to in line, has a very specific tone. From the first word she says, Nick Padell's voice for her is deeply odd and skeptical. You get from her voice right away that something's off. Based on interviews, I know Rothfuss was very intimately involved in Nick's reading of the book. I think we get a lot of extra clues about the oddity of Quoth's actions based on Nick's reading of the girl in line's voice. It's not often that we get additional information from the audiobook, but I do think this is one of those spots. That's all I have for today, but I did want to say I'd love to hear a little bit of information about the people behind the curtain and how the intern sausage is made. It seems incredibly onerous, and clearly you guys record a few episodes at a time. But how often are you meeting up? How much prep goes into each episode? How much time does it take a week? Also, we've heard bits and pieces about the three careers you have, but more? Tell us more. How did you guys meet? How long have you been friends? How did you decide to make this magical endeavor? All the love. You guys came to me in what I thought was the worst time in my life and were a constant comfort, and now I'm actually in the worst time of my life. Anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you. Signed, Incognito.
Well, I'm so flattered that they want to know more about us.
I've put forth a Patreon episode, frankly.
Yeah, well, how can we say no, especially if you're in not a good time? And it's not a great time for any of us, but, you know, I think...
We can definitely put that info in a Patreon episode, but I would like to make sure that Incognito gets it, regardless of whether or not they are a patron.
Yeah, I think we can get on a little bit. And also, I wonder how interesting that would be for the patrons. I'd rather just have a conversation right now,
Nick, I think people are interested in the curtain.
We don't have to go too deep. We don't have to go too deep into like the process, but I think we can talk a little bit about how we met and give it a trailer.
I think that our listeners, are into that parasocial relationship vibe, so they'll be interested in anything we have to tell them.
Okay, wait, I think first we should go over how much prep goes into an episode, because the answer is it doesn't.
I think part probably of more for you than either of us, Jordana.
Well, yes. now that I'm doing a serious
internet for painkiller content, and like, and I read, and I have to read the pages ahead of time. But like, other than that, like, it's not like we discuss. Like, I don't even make really intense notes anymore. I used to make insane notes.
Part of the appeal for doing this show for us is the fact that it's a relatively small footprint. We can just sit down and read the page and riff off it. And occasionally I'll take a look and see what's coming up so that I can jog the old memory hole. But I think if it took much more labor, it wouldn't be as much fun to do. And it wouldn't be so off the cuff, which I think is something that I certainly like about it.
Yeah.
I'm doing a more serious job of editing the episodes now than I used to. And I think it shows.
There's more work on the back end than there is on the front end.
Yeah, that's certainly true. We do a little more prep on the Patreon episodes. We tend to brainstorm and occasionally we do a high production value one. But a big part of the appeal for us as creators is that this is not a huge investment of time. And when it is an investment of time, it's basically us shooting the shit with our friends. So it's not onerous. As far as our friendship, we've been friends for a very long time. Certainly, I guess, yeah. Me and Jeremy have been friends since childhood. We went to the same summer camp where we learned, among other things, we took stage combat together.
Mm-hmm. Nick and I have been friends for like 13 years.
Yeah, at least. Longer, I think.
Maybe 14. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I met Nick when he moved into the house I was living in shortly after I moved to Toronto. And that was in 2013?
Yeah, we were housemates and then we left the other housemates and moved into a new place.
And they were roommates.
We were roommates. Yeah.
Now we're not roommates anymore, but we were roommates. For like, many years? How many years were you roommates for? I guess Jeff and I left 2015? So like, no. Is that right?
I'm sure it's longer.
It
was longer than that.
Definitely longer than that.
Because like, we lived in like four...
Married in 2018, and a year before that was when we stopped living with you.
Okay,
so
this is getting... Jordan, I don't want to get into too much detail here, but we lived in four different housing units together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as our careers, Jordana is an illustrator. Jeremy is a writer. And I am a mixed reality developer. I don't know if we want to get into too much more detail than that as far as what exactly it is we're doing at any given time. But
maybe on the Patreon version of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So that we'll call that a taster.
Mm-hmm. I also hope that as tough a time as you are having right now, I hope that it's getting better. I'm sure things will get better. And, you know, we're here for you in digital form.
Yeah. Yeah. It will get back to normal eventually, whatever that means. A new normal, perhaps, but a normal nonetheless. And all will be well.
Indeed.
Let us hope a better normal. I feel like there was some actual commentary about something happening in the book that we might want to talk about. Yes. So I find it really interesting that Rothfuss was involved in that level of detail in the recording of the audiobooks, because I feel like a lot of the time, especially with like a first-time author, they don't have very much creative control outside of the words that go on the page. You know, authors aren't typically given a lot of creative control over like the cover art on a book. And I don't think they're given a lot of creative control over who reads the audiobook. So I think it's really interesting that Rothfuss had that level of control and that people who are listening to the audiobook are privy to additional context clues that those of us lowly worms who really merely have the written text are not privy to.
Yes, this reminds me of the translation. Apparently, Rothfuss is very closely involved with the localizations to different languages. And similarly, there is information to be gleaned from the nuances of translation if one cares to to do that.
I don't know that I have that level of patience.
No.
Yeah, I'm not great with other languages to begin with, so I don't know that I would be fantastic at that.
Yeah. Also, don't care for audiobooks.
Yeah.
Really?
I
just don't absorb information well when I'm listening to it. Like, it's in one ear and out the other. So I've tried listening to podcasts where they read short stories to me. And at a certain point, I will just like zone out. Like, I'll lose track of what's happening. And then I won't retain the information. So I can't follow the story.
That is not how I
No, me neither. I have had success with audiobooks and serial dramas when driving, but that's pretty much it. If I have a task to do outside, I will not pay attention to it. So audiobooks for me are counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I trained myself to enjoy audiobooks by listening to talk radio.
Oh man, talk radio is the ultimate ignore this.
Yeah, talk radio.
But not for me. Like I like for example, The Moth is a fantastic radio and podcast thing where people tell true stories as they remember them.
Page of the Wind is not supported by The Moth.
What?
Page of the Wind is not supported by The Moth.
No, it is not. I just happen to really like it. But like it's a thing that I listen to and like I remember so many details from those stories. Like I listen to them to the nth degree even if I'm doing something else. And like now I'm good at listening to audiobooks.
Well, there you go. I just think that I'm not like an auditory learner. I learn best by doing or by writing things down, but I don't learn very well by like people talking to me. And there you go. So.
Yep.
Well, you know who I'm sure does love to be talked to via the audio phones? Our listeners. We'll listen to them again on tomorrow's
page
of
the
Wind.
Wind.